I'll eat just as much and cost just as much petrol and just as much to train. So that's important to keep owners in the game, and I think that'll go a long way to getting those field prizes higher. I mean, ultimately, you'd like a field prize of about 12, give punters a good choice, and get a good price for your choice.
100%. Thanks, Steve. Have a good day.
No worries. You too.
Steve McMahon from the ATC. Sky Sports Radio, it's 7 o'clock.
Racing HQ, brought to you by TAB. Bet you'll love our $100,000 projected Big Six pool at Royal Randwick today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Starter about to send them on their way.
On Sky Sports Radio.
The lights on.
And the Sky Racing Network.
Racing. Racing.
Welcome racing. To Racing HQ. Setting you up for the biggest race day of the week with interviews, previews and all the TAB markets.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Racing HQ. For just joining us this morning, great to have you along. If you've been with us for the first half hour on Sky Sports Radio, thanks for staying with us. It is a perfect sunny summer winter's day in Sydney, and around we have the July sprinters there feature the Rosebud Prelude also on today's card. And joining me in studio is Ray Thomas. Good morning to you, Ray.
Morning, Jace. Good morning, everyone. Good to work with you again,
yeah,
Jace.
Absolutely.
And good to see you. And look, good meeting today, isn't it? And on a good four as well, which is terrific for this time of year. And the Rosebud Prelude, just to open the day, is a little precursor to what's around the corner. Spring is not far away. We've got a bit of a taste of it yesterday at the barrier trials where I thought Perrada went great. Super 2 is just a flying machine, isn't she? She was out by many, many lengths, and Invincible Star did a good job actually to reel in Super 2 to win, but a couple of those horses finishing behind them. Perrada was very good running third. D'Argento looks to have come back in magnificent order. That grey coat's going wider by the day with D'Argento, and Elise just tracking behind them. So look, the good horses are back, and it's an exciting time of year, isn't it, Jason?
Well,
middle of winter.
Middle of winter. We speak of trials, Ray. How about that? We were just chatting about it there with Steve, that first trial on Monday morning.
Unbelievable, with Winks and Chautauqua in particular, Kemantari. Look, it's fantastic. What the Everest is doing to a certain extent is bringing a lot of these really good sprinters back early.
Yep.
And they've got to get up and running and get ready for the Everest. Chautauqua, of course, needs to pass that crucial barrier trial, or at least the getaway for him on Monday. But he jumped very well under Tommy Berry at Flemington there last week, and he arrived back at Rosehill during the week. And if he gets that big tick and goes into the Everest field, he'll be the 10th horse to lock into the race. What a field this is, Jason. I know there's an argument about whether it should be a Group 1 or not, but seriously, if this is not a fair income Group 1 race, the Everest, I'll give up.
Yeah, that's right. It probably doesn't matter from watching point of view, does it? I mean, it's still a fantastic race, whether you label it a Group 1 or not.
Really interesting comments from James Bester during the week.
Yep.
He spoke to the media, and I think ANZ Budstock, and he actually said that he believes that it doesn't matter anymore, because the Everest carries so much weight in terms of just what a huge race it is, both here and internationally.
Yep.
You win it.
That's right.
A fantastic commercial thing for a potential stallion or whatever. So,
well, it's prestigious enough in its own right, Ray, and I think it's changed the landscape of racing, not only in Australia but perhaps internationally as well. What is important for a stallion, perhaps,
and also changing the landscape to Kosciuszko this week. That was massive news, and what an innovative concept it is, and the public can get involved as well. As we're all aware, just for the cost of $5, you potentially could have a runner in the Kosciuszko for $1.3 million. It's a fantastic concept. That goes on Everest Day, of course, plus those other prize money increases. It was a pretty significant week for New South Wales racing.
An amazing week, Ray, wasn't it? We'll talk more about that when we have a moment. We want to have a chat to Joe Cleary, who's got a couple of runners in today, and he is with us now. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Jason. Good morning, Raimondo. How are you, boys?
Good morning, Joe.
We are very well, thanks, Joe. A couple of candy chances in today. I wanted to chat to you about Cliff. You got him ticking along nicely, this four-year-old. Great race there in the highway a few weeks ago. And, of course, he's had the trial on the Acton track since then. How do you think he's done since that run in the highway?
Yeah, he done really, really well, Jason. Just he pulled up so well after, obviously, the backup after winning at Wagga. This is a ticking over and getting a soft trial at Canberra last Friday. Nicola Taywood rode him in the trial, and he just said he's in the zone, Joey. I just think it's the right time of year to be trying to pinch one of these highways of a horse like Cliffy. from 30. I know he's run a stack of seconds, but if there's going to be a highway, he's going to get away with him probably today, boys.
Yeah, this looks his chance, doesn't it, Joe? He's a little awkwardly drawn, so where do you hope to settle in the run?
Not a bad thing, Ray. I'm probably glad he's out a little bit because Nick can just neck him. Nick rides him so well. Mm. He won the Guineas prelude on him at Wagga. Then he won only two starts back, and he knows the horse inside out, and he'll just sort of neck him at the start, get back, get a little bit of cover. Just hope there's some speed in it. I think I'll anticipate there's some good speed in it. But if you can tuck in somewhere, sort of fifth, sixth, one off. Plenty of time up that Randwick straight to get plenty of daylight and have one crack at him, mate.
I know he's effective on all types of ground, but the good four today, I think that's a big tick for Cliff.
Yeah, it is, mate. I prefer him on top of the ground. I go back to when Johnny Kitchick won his maiden on him. I think won his maiden by 8 or 9 lakes at Queen, but it was like concrete that day. So I actually prefer him on top of the ground. He had a topsy-turvy preparation last time, and this time we just took our time. We actually bled him. We took about 8 or 9 litres of blood out of him. And it's just, obviously there was something there ticking, not quite right, but this preparation is a different horse.
You never won a Tab Highway, though, Joe, you told me during the week. You've gone close a few times, including with Cliff last start.
Mate, I got sick of running them Maddies between Maddie Dale and Maddie Dunn. I was hoping all the bay was 20k's further up, so Maddie Dunn was eligible. When Campbell got barred, I thought, well, I'm a cheeky chance because Maddie Dale was eligible. So well, I pick up the fields, I look for Danny Williams and Maddie Dunn, and they're not there today, right? So I'm a cheeky chance, mate.
They're the Chris Wallers and the Darren Weirs of the highways.
They drive me mad, mate. They drive me mad. And I think Matthew Dunn's beat me 3 times.
Yeah.
And Maddie Dale will save me. I don't mind Maddie, but don't Maddie Dale beat me. That's the way it goes.
Well, anyway, this is your chance today. And just talking to you again during the week about Up Trumps, there's a little level of confidence there. He did trial quite nicely against the race fit Cliff there the other day.
Yeah, mate, he's had a really good basis horse, Ray. Sammy Shire is his owner. Him and I sat down about 10 or 12 weeks ago. It's his last crack at getting some Bob's money. He's actually picked up a bit of Bob's money along the way. And I spotted this race. I said, look, it's going to be competitive, but let's just map it out properly. And he just wasn't ticking all the boxes to learn in the last fortnight since I've been home from Queensland. I just sort of give him a spin around last Friday just to sort of stimulate his brain and get the competitive juices flowing through the body again. And this week, mate, I've run the clippers over him, and he's really starting to shine. And he'll be competitive. Like, it's a hard race. Like, one of sort of half a dozen could win that race today, Ray.
Mm.
But he's always competitive. He tries his little heart out, and hope he runs well for the Shires family.
No, exactly. And you won't be trackside today. I think you've got a more pressing family engagement coming up this afternoon, Jay.
I certainly have, Ray. Monday, I've sent Toddy Blowers and Sammy Shires on the highway. I left about 20 minutes ago, and yeah, it's Franco's 70th birthday party tonight. He's been getting around like a kid in a candy shop all week. He's been tap dancing up and down the road, and he thinks he's his 21st or his 70th. But like I said to Mum through the week, we better have a 70th because it's a cheeky chance he won't make 80, Raymondo.
No, knowing Frankie, I reckon he'll be there when he's 80. He's so robust. I tell you what, though, speaking of robust, Joe, and you were thinking of moving to the Gold Coast, but these prize money increases, the Tab Highway prize money increases, the introduction of the Cozzie Osco, you might be staying at home at Queanbeyan, and I dare say Frank might look to get a few more horses in training as well.
Yeah, mate, it's just one of them things. My wife and I have basically been all homes every day looking for property on the Gold Coast. We sort of dot the I's across the T's to move in the new year. And after this call this week, we had a good yarn the other night, and just the logistical side of it, Raymond. Mm. We'll probably call Queanbeyan home for a couple more years. Our main plan is to eventually get to Queensland. I want to sort of put my toe into the real estate side of things with my auctioneering skills, and I don't want to be a horse trainer all my life. But like I said to my wife the other night, there's a chance to really cash in for country trainers. We've got a really nice team of horses. We've got great clients. We've got no rubbish in the stable no more. So, mate, I think we've got to put up a few more winters and runny nose and a bit more. More wrinkles and inches, mate, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, just on that theme, I'll let you go, Joe, but in terms of grassroots racing in the country areas, 5 years ago, I think it's fair to say country racing was struggling, but you've been through that patch. You're there now. You see what's around the corner. What's your view of where New South Wales country racing and indeed the industry's at?
Well, I'll give you a quick example, Ray. I took a horse on Melbourne Cup Day to Bega a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years. The horse won. I got a bill. By the time I paid the transport, by the time I paid the strapper, I gave the jockey a little bone for a drink. I think it was $3,300 to the winner.
Mm.
And after the prize money came, I got a bill for training the winner. That's how bad it was.
Mm.
Look, it's and with this concept of the Cozzie Osco as well, it just, you know, everyone sort of pumps their tyres up this week. As I discussed to you on the phone, look, my phone didn't stop all day.
Mm.
And obviously, Cool Ring will be my chance of getting into the Cozzie Osco. He's probably coming to the stable at the right time. But it made, like, even the vibe around Queanbeyan, like, there's not a lot of horses here, there's not a lot of staff, not a lot of people, but the vibe around here this week has been unbelievable just with them announcements. And I think also with the rebate that'll be put into the trainers' account just to help our cash flow, it won't affect me a hell of a lot being training in the country. I think our rebate's $150, but you've got their metropolitan trainers that have to prop up rents and staff and that every week. Well, if they have half a dozen runners and don't get a bone, well, they're copping $6,000 in the next stakes payment cycle. So, you know, like, it's just it's a, whoever came up with this plan, you know, they need to be applauded. Whether it was Peter or one of the guys on his board, they need to be applauded. And country racing, as I said, it's the ship's steering in the right direction, mate. It's very exciting times for all.
Certainly is. Well, look, wish Frank a happy birthday for us today. And thanks for joining us this morning, Jay. And best luck with both the runners at Randwick this afternoon.
Appreciate it, boys. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks.
Good on you, Joe. Joe Cleary there with a couple of runners today. Cliff in the second race, $7.50 with tab fixed odds. And race 5, number 11, Up Trumps, it's a $19 chance. I think we've got a good snapshot there, Ray, of what it means to, you know, country trainers, a really good, you know, country trainer like Joe Cleary. It's,
makes
a huge difference, doesn't it, these prize money increases.
He was ready to move. As you said, at the end of the year, this is a lifestyle change to go to the Gold Coast. Mm. But financially, it's just so much more viable and sustainable now to stay where he is. And as he said, put up with a few more of those bleak Queanbeyan winters.
Shot, they are pretty bleak. I think also, Joe's one example of someone who's not moving, but we're going to see people coming from, you know, north of the border and south of the border into New South Wales now.
No doubt.
With this extra prize money and the structure, the new structure, which is so important, I think,
absolutely,
for cash flow purposes.
Yeah, I think one of the primary drivers of these prize money increases is to attempt to increase field sizes, particularly in the metropolitan and provincial areas. And look, when you're racing for that sort of prize money, it's hard not to say to your trainer, run my horse if you own one.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, there's been lots of positives in Racing New South Wales, hasn't there, for the last few years now. But I guess one of the problems that we've seen has been some smaller field sizes, especially in sort of metro and provincial level. But this is a measure to try and address that.
Or paying fourth to tenth. And that'll go across all three sectors, which is really important, I think, Jason, because that gives you opportunity for horses who perhaps can't win races but still earn some money for their owners, so that helps to reinvest, that helps to encourage the horses or the owners to run and trainers to run their horses, which should increase the field sizes. You know, well, if it attracts, you know, X amount from interstate, great, but I always think if you're an owner and you just say you're based in Victoria or based in Queensland, you want to see your horses race, but so you'd like to see them race in your local area.
Yes.
But when the prize money's so good, you'd be saying to your trainer, look, can't we duck over the border and have a crack down there?
Yeah, well, exactly right. Mm. And there's a flow-on effect, isn't it? I mean, there's been prize money increases for owners, number one, to try and get more people into racing, for participants, not only from trainers getting more into their stakes accounts, but also for jockeys and also for strappers. And as a byproduct of that, we're getting likely increased field sizes, which is a benefit to punters, where you're getting more value.
Exactly. Well, look, today we've got, unfortunately, five scratchings out of that staying race. We've left with a field of four, which is disappointing, but interesting that a number of those horses were entered from interstate, which again shows that interstate trainers are looking at our racing.
Yeah, exactly. And why wouldn't they? You know, given the I think it's in the last 7 years, Ray, $130 million extra has flowed into Comms of Racing New South Wales since parity's come about. We've
heard double in 7 years
during
the
week, suggesting that Racing New South Wales have had a very successful time of things, and that's been able to fully fund all of these increases.
Yeah, doubled in 7 years, extraordinary. I think we've got Brad Witt up on the line now, actually, Jason. Brad, good morning.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, terrific, Brad. You're here with Jason as well, and we were just saying before you came on air, Brad, how good the prize money is, and you're a young trainer starting out. This is your first debut season. I think you go to the crease today on 49, not out, so to speak, hopefully raising the bat for the half century. But in terms of a young trainer like yourself who's trying to plan a future in the industry, these prize money increases, how important are they, Brad?
Oh, for sure. Like, it's incredible, really. I think we've had a golden run the last few years. Like, this has been new incentives all the time, and even going back to the new grandstand at Randwick and the Everest, like, just positive things all the time.
Mm.
And from a personal perspective, Brad, it's been a terrific season for you. I think you started off with about, 8 or 10 horses in work, and you've now grown that number significantly and even putting in some new stable boxes.
Yeah, it has been, I sort of at the start of the, when I kicked off, I thought, well, if I can get 10 winners for the year, I'll probably done well. So, we've had a bit of luck, obviously. Jungle Eyes won first up for me. From that day on, really built quickly.
You know, it's been a fantastic season, and hopefully you can get that 50 winners today, Brad. Dancers go to Kembla?
Yeah, Gans, okay. Kimmel, yeah.
Terrific. That'll leave you with the two runners at Randwick, and you'll open the day with Witherspoon in the Rosebud Prelude. And a filly has always shown a lot of promise, and look, that Newcastle win must have been good for her confidence and good for you to see her put those rivals to the sword.
Yeah, for sure. She needed to do that. Obviously she's shown a little bit of good form there over the summer, and I'll probably rush to go on the scone, and we just freshen her up, and I was nearly tipping her out, but she turned the corner and trialled really well, and then she went off to Newcastle, and, she did a great job there.
Mm. Brad, is it indicative of how you rate the filly that you're going straight from that Newcastle maiden, taking on the boys, taking on a couple of boom colts this afternoon? You probably could have found an easier race, but is that an indication of how highly you rate Witherspoon?
Well, look, it's probably the race to go for. End of the season, two-year-old race. It's come up a pretty solid race for sure. I think there might be a handy horse or two come out of the race after today. So, she's going to have to be definitely at her best. But, I don't think she's too far away from this type of field. But, she's going to have to do everything right and, be in good form for sure.
Fair enough. Jungle Eyes resumes in race 8 today. Brad, he's got a special spot in your heart. He was your first ever winner when you first kicked off back in May of last year, and he comes off the summer prep when he was really consistent.
He was, mate, and I was taking him up to the Magic Millions. He was qualified for the country race, and he got a temperature before we travelled him up, and that was the end of him. He has had a tie-back surgery, but he's come back really well. I was really happy his first trial. He got the trial, we're just riding a bit quieter, and he's a runner. He likes to roll along. So, once you sort of hold him up, that's the end of him. He really likes that battle up in front, and obviously he's doing a bit tricky today, but he's in good form, and he'll run a bold race for a long way.
What's your experience with horses coming back off tie-back surgeries, Brad?
Oh, some are successful, some aren't. I think they're getting a lot better at it. 10 years ago, I sort of wouldn't go near the surgery, but, definitely I think the process they go through now, they're a lot better at it, and the horses are getting back to the races, and they're sort of getting close to back to their form that they were in before they had it.
Mm-hmm. Well, just those couple at Kembla, then you're sending Dancers down there, and I think talking to you yesterday, you were more worried about the barrier at Randwick. You don't like her drawn inside horses, so you're happy for her to start off at the provincials?
Yeah, it sounds funny enough, but she just does not go. You have her on the inside of a field. She goes from a 70 rating filly to a maiden. She just does not go. So I think just ridden that little bit quieter where she can get to the outside definitely helps, but if she's bothered up in the field, she's just hopeless,
Yeah, and her trial's been good?
Yeah, I was really happy with the second trial. First trial was ordinary long. I took her up there. I don't know what happened there, but I was really happy with her. The second trial. We gave her a nice little hit out, and, I think she comes in today's race in good form for sure.
Mm. And what about the younger sizzling colt, Sizzled in race 2, Brad?
Yeah, I think the other day he's sort of in the death seat as a tearaway leader. He sat second, put the field up, and his condition probably gave out. You can prove a lot from there. I think he'll be in the race for a long way for sure. I was quite happy with his run. I think the run was better than it looked, and he's pulled up well, and I think he's definitely on the improve.
Do you get any phone calls from one of the part owners early on race morning, like Gus Gould's in the ownership of Sizzled, and I know he loves his racing, Brad?
No, he's very good. Like, he's not so much on the phone, but he's, you send an email to him, he responds straight away. He loves it. It's just a good outlet for him. And, like he's rugby league, he's got good knowledge about the game, and he really seems to enjoy it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, Brad, congratulations on what's been a fantastic debut season, a super base for the new season as well, and let's hope you can bring up that half century this afternoon.
Thanks, Ray. Good on you, Jason.
Good on you, Brad. Thanks for your time this morning. There's Brad Widdop with Witherspoon, who in the first race today will go around at a nice price after scoring as a pretty short price favourite at Newcastle, but dominant in a weaker race.
It was, but she has run in some good races earlier in the season, so they've obviously had a very good opinion of her. And as Brad said, he just wanted to see her do that to a field, get that confidence booster. She's taking on a couple of pretty handy horses here. Plague's done. I know he's got to put the runs on the board. He hasn't done it yet, but I heard Tony Brassel earlier, he's made him a trial watcher, and that most recent trial was super from Plagestone.
Yeah, he was, and he'll be hard to beat. He's 190. Witherspoon in that race is $5.50, and Jungle Eye is the other one that Brad's got there in race 8. Of course, with that tie-back procedure, it's $7 with Blake Shinn to ride. So, yeah, Brad had a terrific start to his training career. I remember he trained lots of winners, didn't he? In his first
Jungle Eyes kicked him off,
with
the winner first runner, and that was late May of last year.
Yeah.
So he's done a super job in the 13, 14 months since.
49 winners, terrific, isn't it? And out at Platinum Park out near Hawkesbury. New stable block there with 20 horses coming up soon. Great training centre out there, isn't it?
It's a state-of-the-art stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1 and Sky Thoroughbred Century on Racing HQ. Great to have you with us this morning with Ray Thomas and Jason Witham. Andrew Bensley taking a few weeks off. And we're about to have a chat to Jason Coyle, who's got some nice runners in today. Good morning to you, Jason.
Morning, Jason. Morning, Rob.
Morning, Jason.
Some good runners in today. Ray, I'll ask you about the mare I like of yours, Memes, a bit later on. But I want to start, Jason, with You Make Me Smile, race number 5, So You Think. He's a very, very promising colt, and he won 3 of 7. And, of course, back out to the 1,200 metres, I think, will probably suit him best today. But you probably would have preferred a little bit of sting out of the ground. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, probably right on both counts. And a nicer gait probably would have helped us a little bit as well. So, he's got a task ahead of him. He's going to need some luck, but he's spot on, and he's a nice colt and very progressive. And I think you can make a good dent in today's race with that little bit of luck.
Talking to you during the week, Jason, you said he's still very much a colt in terms of he's a little bit arrogant in his races. What do you exactly mean by that?
He's very aggressive in his races. A couple of times there, he's had a horse up outside of him, and he doesn't want to settle in transit. He just wants to race it the entire way, and that obviously brings the horse undone in those closing stages. That petrol tank starts to get low pretty quick. So if you just be able to sort of come back a peg, I think you have a better turn of foot and a stronger finish. So I think, I think his racing performances will dictate whether he stays a colt or whether we geld him in the near future.
Understand. And just from that wide-ish gate, do you just let Kathy roll forward and just let her slide across?
Yeah, especially only yesterday. I'm not going to offer any instructions to Kathy. She knows the horse really well, and from that barrier, I don't think he'd tie anyone down. So, look, I'd anticipate he'd roll forward somewhere. Obviously, speed of the race, tempo early, and the rest of it will dictate where he ends up. From out there, he's just going to need a bit of luck, I think.
Yep. On to race 6, and Lightning Nick, who's generally a back marker, she's drawn the inside gate, so you probably can settle a bit closer than normal on her?
Yeah, I would hope so. I think we won't be out to force her to be any closer, but if she happens to land in front of a couple, that'd be terrific. I think I spoke to you during the week and suggested that, although she's probably better suited at in a midweek race, the Randwick Circuit is definitely up her alley. Canterbury and Warwick Farms seem the tracks that she sort of dislikes. So I think she gets a chance from a soft draw and a soft running transit to run a good race today.
And looks a bit of tempo in this race as well too, Jace, particularly out wide. So hopefully that'll set the race up for Lightning Nick at least to unleash late.
Exactly. Like I said, she won't be doing anything in transit if they go over at least the genuine tempo. And, she gets a bit of clean air once she's balanced up. Then she's the sort of horse that can hit the line nice and hard.
And onto the July sprint, the main race of the day. And look, she's a little beauty, isn't she, Jason Memes? She's not that big, but she's all heart. And once she learned how to win, she's won 6 of the last 12, and she never runs a bad race, Jason.
No, very honest. She probably her last run, last prep, was so-so. But you look at the horses she was racing at the time, and The form through there is very good. I think she's come back in great order. I couldn't have been happier with her barrier trials. Regular rider Rachel King rode her, and she came back with positive reports. So she's in really good order, and we're just hoping that all things go well in transit for her, and she can stick her head out at the right time.
She's got a reputation of being of excelling on wet tracks, but a record on top of the ground is also really good. 10 starts, 3 wins, 5 placings. And she is at Randwick, which she absolutely loves, over a trip that she loves. And the Randwick track over recent weeks too, Jason's probably had a little bit of give in it compared to particularly Rose Hill.
Yeah, I'd agree with all that. Obviously I probably would have preferred something into the soft range for her. I do think she appreciates that. If anything, a couple of those horses with maybe a slightly better turn of foot might be taken out of the equation. But agree, man, we've probably got a nice cushion to it. She'll appreciate that, and fresh form's good. So, yeah.
She goes particularly well for Rachel as well, Jason.
Yeah, we haven't given anyone else a chance. Or She's done everything right. She's, she gets on with the horse really well. She knows how to ride her. She's happy to dictate a race or take a sit off the tempo. So, once again, it's good to have a regular rider on that you don't have to offer too many instructions to.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it in relation to Rachel. And down to the last, Speed Hero has got a run, as we know, Jason. And, look, I know it's a step up in grade, but his 3 runs this prep have all been excellent, particularly his last start win at Warwick Farm. He's a get-back horse, but he's really attacking the line this prep.
Yeah, I'd probably put him in the same sort of category as Lightning Nick. You sort of think he is probably better suited in a midweek style of race, but he has to go to tracks such as Canterbury, and although he won at Warwick Farm, I'm sure he appreciates a bigger circuit. I think he's drawn quite well, sort of middle there. Once again, a genuine tempo of suit. He's a sort of horse that I think he can travel up in behind them and get sort of a late shot at them. I think way down the weights here, he's got to be some hope.
And just a quick update on Siren's Fury, your Dark Jewel Classic winner, and my little favourite, Jason White Moss.
Yeah, White Moss is going to go for a good break. She won't be seen during the spring. She was pretty disappointing up in Queensland with the opinion we had going up there. So she'll have a really good break, and we'll see her once everyone's happy with how she's spelled. Siren Fury, she's just started up in Queensland on the Water Walker. She's going to spend probably another 7 days, say, up there. Then she'll come back to the Warwick Farm stable and possibly head towards the Golden Pendant, I think it's called, the 1400 mares race, more than likely first up.
Terrific. And just quickly, Jason, 2 runners at Kembla today. Lord Heron was pretty good on debut, and your witness is doing the nice gate. Also comes off a pretty solid effort at Newcastle last start.
Yeah, I think Lord Heron is a really nice horse. He's just very, very mature. He's very raw. Although a 3-year-old, he's probably got the mind of a 2-year-old at the moment. He raced really ungenerous at Newcastle, yet still was able to find the line well. So he would have taken improvement from that. Barrier hasn't helped us again, but the small field hopefully suits. I think whatever he does today, next preparation, I truly believe he can sort of at least work his way into the metropolitan area. So, fingers crossed for today, but I think our next prep will be a really nice horse.
All right, Jason, many thanks, and good luck with all of your team today.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jason.
There's Jason Coyle with some good chances today. Ray, you make me smile in race 5. It's $15 with tab fixed. Lightning Nick, $26 in the 6th race. Memes, she's still $9. She opened up $9.
She won a race, yeah.
Thought she was a big price. And then race 9, number 17, Speed Hero. It's a $26 chance.
Well, You Make Me Smile, I think, opened at 21s, which was a silly price for a horse who's race fit and going particularly well. And as you mentioned, Jace, he's back out to 1,200. That's probably more his go rather than 1,100 metres.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, more guests are coming up shortly on Racing HQ. Stay with us.
The FIFA World Cup is over, but more world-class football is just around the corner. The game's biggest names return from Russia for a brand new season of the Premier League. Kicks off Saturday 11th of August, live, free and in HD on SBS.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our huge projected tote pools on the racing action this weekend. Today, there's a $100,000 projected Big Six pool at Royal Randwick. And tonight, we've got a $100,000 projected quaddy pool at Wentworth Park. Don't miss a minute of the action with Sky Racing live on the TAB app. TAB, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts, with the BT50 XT 4x4 manual now $39,990 drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
The most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian have available at Tullock Lodge a fabulous filly with serious black type pedigree. By Epaulette, proving a sensation as the best first crop Danehill line sire in a decade. From the marvellous Sababil mare from Els, a Group 3 winner of 6 races and a daughter of Group 1 placed Unearthed. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this high quality filly for $9,400 a share. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Racing HQ is brought to you by the TAB app. Get live streaming of every race every day, even when you're browsing the app. Gamble responsibly.
Just after 7:30 on this Saturday morning, good to have you with us on Racing HQ on either Sky Racing or indeed on Sky Sports Radio. Jason Witham and Ray Thomas with you. After 8 a.m. we'll have the preview. Simon Denopoulos will be joining Ray and Glenn Munsey with all of the odds. Run through some scratchings for you now and bring those to you before we get back into our guests. And on a good four track today, with fine skies and a top of 17 degrees in Sydney, here are the scratchings for Randwick this afternoon. Race 1, number 8, Golden Tycoon, and 12, Elanara. Race 1, it's 8 and 12. Race 2, it's 9, So Shy. Race 2, number 9. Third race, 2, Mongolian Wolf. 3, Survived. 7, My Psychiatrist. 8, Shock Alert. 9, Latino Lover. And 10, Fencourt. The staying race, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10. Leaves a field of 4. In the fourth race, number 9, Brazen comes out. Race 4, number 9. Race 5, it's 5, Bella Vella, and 10, Dancers. It'll go around at Kembla Grange. Race 5, numbers 5 and 10. Race 6, number 10, Gala Moshe. Race 6, number 10. In the seventh, it's 10, Just a Bullet, and 13, Oriental Runner, 10 and 13. In race 8, numbers 4, Single Bullet, and 12, Zafina, 4 and 12. And race 9, number 6, All Summer Long. Race 9, number 6. No late ones. And no riders to bring you at this stage. So that's an update. Just the staying race, really, that's been knocked around today, isn't it? But
yeah, disappointing, isn't it? With just the four runners, but it happens on occasions. But not ideal. But
look, we've seen a lot of staying races, haven't we, over the Brisbane Winter Carnival. So a lot of them have been up there, Ray, I suppose, haven't they?
Yeah, I guess our staying ranks are a little bit depleted in terms of quantity. So we needed some of those interstate horses to come up here. But one of them, Mongolian Wolf's going to Adelaide. But yeah, we've got Grey Line here, and he'll certainly be a chance.
Yeah, he's a good horse. Yeah, good import, no doubt about that. And he'll add some interest, I'm sure. Let's have a chat now to Brenton Abdullah, who's been kind enough to join us. Good morning to you, Brenton.
Morning, boys.
Brenton, good book today. Look, 8 rides. I want to start off with race number 1, the Tenor. Nice Your Song type, colt for Chris Lees. You rode him at his first start, and he really kicked away to a pretty comfortable win. What's your opinion of him?
Yeah, he's a nice colt. Obviously, come out of a 900 a little mat race on his home track. Gets to a stronger race now. I think 1,000 metres will suit him. Drawing well, I expect him to sort of improve again, and you can be competitive.
Good morning, Brenton. Well, Mongolian Wolf, your ride in the third is scratch. You go down to Coonawarra in race 4. He's in a rich vein of form at the moment, Coonawarra, and importantly, drawn the barrier to get the gun run again.
Yeah, he surprised me the other day at Rose Hill, obviously coming off the midweek win, and he was strong the other day. He was able to just get the trail off the leader, and he dug deep when he needed to. So he gets to his home crack off the soft draw and back-to-back wins. Mm-hmm. So horses in form, they can always sort of, when they're going well, they can always keep surprising. So you'd expect him to sort of put himself on speed and be competitive again.
Yeah, he's a tough horse. He certainly has that good winning attitude. You picked up the ride on Bella's Success in race 5. She's had the 3 runs back, Brenton. She looks like she's bursting to win a race. This could be a chance this afternoon.
Yeah, talented mare. The first up run was great, and then the next two have been, you know, been good runs as well. So she's drawn a little bit wide, probably has to just ride her a bit quiet. I see Chris has just tinted with the gear a little bit with her, and if she gets speed on and she runs on, she's definitely up to them.
Feeling a love, you're right, in race six. She comes out of the Coonawarra race. She was well beaten that day, but she did win very well at Warwick Farm at the midweeks prior to that. And I think she's over the odds, Brendan, because on her day, she's a very capable mare, feeling the love.
She's probably a mare that appreciates a bit more cut out of the ground. Does handle sort of soft tracks, but her first up win was good when John rode her, and her run the other day, she just got back and never come on at all. So maybe just second up a bit flat. She goes third up from a nice draw. She doesn't always have to be at the back. She can probably posse up just behind them, and if she brings her best foot forward, she's a mare that can bow up on this sort of day. We'll see how she goes today.
Mm-hmm. And then race seven, Chris Lees has got Tactical Advantage back to the races. We know he's got a lot of talent. His two trials have been super. I don't think you've ridden him before, Brenton, but his form's pretty exposed. He can certainly win this race.
Yeah, he's a very talented horse. Excuree and James Cummings, and I think Joe had him there for a bit. So he's one of these talented horses who can, if he brings his sort of A game, he can win this. But just off the little, he's obviously had a little tie-back operation. Chris has given him a few trials. He's trialled well. He's drawn well. So he's awesome. If he's anywhere near his best, and he can be the one to beat. So we'll just hope he turns up.
Yeah, and there's been some money for him. Single bullet scratch race eight. Down to the last, Curdled. You did ride Curdled two starts back at Rose Hill when he was beaten in that tight photo by Nicky's Gold. Last start, things didn't quite go his way at Rose Hill, but he's another horse who's not far off a win, Brenton.
No, he just missed a couple of runs ago when I rode him at Rose Hill, and he's run the other day. Sort of, he wasn't beaten far either, and you had Sparky Lad come out of that and then win last week. So form's not bad around him. He gets to an open race where there's probably a lot of chances, and he's coming out of a good draw. So if he can be again and put himself not far away from the speed, then he's a horse who on his day is capable as well.
Brenton, this will be the last we see of you for a while. You were telling me during the week you're off on a short holiday to Croatia and the Greek Islands. I wouldn't mind going somewhere warm myself these days. And then, of course, early in August, you have that month-long stint in Japan, which I think that contract's a just reward for what's been a fantastic season for you, Brenton.
Yeah, it's been a good season. I've worked pretty hard, and to be honest, I'm sort of looking towards the end of it. It's been a very long season, so pretty excited actually to have the last day today, and hopefully we can get a result, and we'll be on the plane on Monday, and we'll see what the future holds.
Can you speak Japanese, Brenton?
No, I don't know much at all, so very lucky I've got a translator over there.
How do you go with the food?
I love the food. So okay. Food shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, and so how long do you, about a month in Japan then back in Sydney for the start of the Spring Carnival in September?
Yeah, it's still all up in the air a bit. I'm definitely going to be there for a month. I'll see how things are going. If everything's going well, and sometimes you just don't want to break that sort of bit of luck. I could just continue on for another month, or if I've got good opportunities maybe waiting for me in Sydney, I could come back. And it's just, haven't really thought much about it. Just going to sort of let it happen and see what we can make of it. But at the end of the day, either way, I think after a couple of months, I'll be back in Sydney, and hopefully we can kick it off somewhere.
Fair enough. And just finally, Brenton, a lot of focus on you this year, the Premiership, as there was last year. It looks like the result's going to be very different. Did you learn much from that experience last year when Huey came from the clouds to pip you on the line, so to speak, in the Premiership?
Yes and no. Last season was last season was a bit of a blur, to be honest. I sort of did lose a bit of support through certain stables that were sort of supported me all year, but then when Huey sort of come back and he was a man riding like a man possessed, they sort of swung their way to him, and even just with little things, sort of some stables I was riding, I didn't know in the year that I ran out of rides as well. So it's just one of those things. I got no doubt my confidence went, my riding went. But this year, I've just tried to keep it simple and work hard, and I've been able to continue the support from all the stables. So I've been lucky enough that I've had Team Hawks behind me and throughout the season. And John's always been very good. I call him most days. You know, even if I think I've ridden poor and he might see something else or vice versa, he's always there to sort of pick you up. And very lucky I was sort of able to bounce off their stable and use them as a base. And obviously, then for Godolphin and James and Chris Waller, Chris Lee, there's plenty of stables that were supporting me. And yeah, it's just been great. And see what we can do today to finish it off.
Terrific. Well, it's been a great season and the rewards are there for you justly, Brenton. Look, thanks for joining us this morning. Best of luck this afternoon and the very best of luck both with the short holiday and in particular in Japan. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you, Brenton. Thanks very much, Brenton of Double there. It's been a magnificent season.
It has, yeah. He will win that premiership and deservedly so, because he's led most of the season, and it's difficult to do that in Sydney racing when you're not a stable jockey for one of the really big stables.
Yeah.
But he's sort of picked and choosed and got support, as you said, from a lot of big trainers, and it's been a sustained period of excellence by Brenton Abdullah.
Well, you could argue it's the most competitive jurisdiction for jockeys in the world.
No doubt. I honestly believe it. Probably only Hong Kong would rank alongside it, but in terms of the depth of Sydney racing, it's just extraordinary.
Remarkable. And great
to
see.
And Tommy Berry's coming home too, just to add to that. Yeah. So it's a pretty deep pool of talent.
Well, that's right. We lose Brenton and gain Tommy.
Oh.
So, you know.
And Brenton will be back shortly as well.
That's
so
right.
Very
yeah.
deep pool of talent.
Mm. We really do, don't we? It's a tremendous, tremendous jurisdiction. That was Brenton Abdullah with some good books, a good book of rides today. Seven of them with Mongolian Wolf scratched, of course, and probably Tactical Advantage and maybe Coonawarra his best return.
Yeah, he'd be keen on Coonawarra, wasn't he? That barrier is the key there. He's just puts himself in the right spot, Coonawarra, doesn't he? And he's really tough, got a great winning attitude. Tactical Advantage interests me, though, because he's got so much ability, this horse, and we've seen glimpses of it during his short career, and I think it'll be really hard to beat this afternoon. His trials have been super.
They certainly have, yeah. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1, it's now 18 minutes to 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll have Glenn Munsey along with Simon Dinopoulos for our Randwick preview, along with Ray Thomas. As we look at the Randwick card today, and about to have a chat with Chris Waller, hopefully. Mm. He's got a good team in.
Well, he's got Ombudsman in that staying race, which has been, as you mentioned earlier, Jace, cut to pieces by the scratching, just the four runners. But when he won at Randwick a couple of weeks ago, it was really interesting after the race. Chris labelled the horse a cup source, which I think Greg Radley and other media around went, hang on, but he quickly qualified that by saying a Newcastle cup horse. But this is the indication of a young horse who's going through his grades really well, and that Newcastle Cup's often a springboard to a lot bigger and better things, obviously the Metropolitan initially.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying he's a Cup's horse this spring, but in turn, Corey Brown also was really impressed by his staying power, particularly the last 200 metres of that Randwick race. He dominated that late.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So he's got a lot of upside, Coonawarra. Ombudsman.
Yeah, first run over a mile and a half, wasn't it? Mentioned the Newcastle Cup. Didn't we see Green Moon come to the Newcastle?
Certainly did, yeah. And it was some win too, Green Moon.
Yeah,
Newcastle Cup.
Yeah. So it has been a good race in terms of, you know, looking ahead to some of the bigger races throughout the spring. No doubt about that. Scratching-wise, we have...
Have they gone final now, Jase?
Yeah, final scratchings now. We can get to those in about 8 or 9 minutes' time. We've still got a couple more guests to chat to. But I will run through these scratchings for you one more time. If you're just joining us this morning, you just switched on in the car, or you've popped us on the telly. Race 1, number 8, Golden Tycoon, 12, Elanara, 8 and 12. Race 2, number 9, So Shy, number 9. Third race, the staying event, 2 Mongolian Wolf, 3 Survive, 7 My Psychiatrist, 8 Shock Alert, 9 Latino Lover, 10 Fencourt, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10. Fourth race, it's 9 Brazen, number 9. Race 5, 5 Vela Vela, 10 Dancers, 5 and 10, Dancers going around at Kembla. Race 6, 10 Gala Moshea, number 10. 7th, 10 Just a Bullet, 13 Oriental Runner, 10 and 13. Race 8, 4 Single Bullet, 12 Zafina, 4 and 12. Race 9, number 6, All Summer Long, number 6. Whilst we've got a moment, Ray, before we get to our next guest, I think we do have a graphic from our team for the Kosciuszko, and Tabba put a market up. I'm sure Munz will talk about that at some length.
Didn't take him long to get one up, did
after
it?
After 8 o'clock. But
I think Care to Think was at the top of betting.
Well, Care to Think's the favourite at $6. Extreme and Victorum are both at $8. Don't Give a Damn for Danny Williams at $11. There's the Monstar at Kavanaugh at $11. Awesome Pluck, Copy Luwak. Snitz, they're at $15. Suncraze at $15. Menno Borman there, Acquittal, After All That, 26, Akasaki and Keller's Choice, 26, Highway 66, Oh So Hazy, Perfect Air, Pumpkin Pie and She Knows are all at $26. They're the ones under 50 to 1. But
I'll put you on the spot, Jason, just so you go in today and you buy your $5 ticket, which you can do at all hotels and tab outlets, and you get picked out. Jason Withen's one of the 12. Who would you go for?
I'd probably go for Don't Give a Damn, I reckon.
Yep,
Ray.
Fair enough.
I always thought he has, you know, a touch of quality about him for a country horse. And I know
loves Randwick.
I know Danny Williams has always thought that he's, you know, a pretty special horse. Mm. Loves Randwick. And yeah, what about you?
Look, I think Care to Think is high quality. I think he showed that at Group 1 level in Brisbane during the winter. I think he ran 6th, beating him at a length and a half in a Doomben 10,000. A lot of those horses that finished in front of him are heading towards the Everest. So look, he might be better suited over a fraction further, but high speed, they'll run along in a Kosciuszko. I think a horse like Care to Think would be really hard to beat. Speaking of the Everest, Minari became the 9th confirmed horse into the race this week with Max Whitby and Neil Werrett saying late Thursday that they managed to reach an agreement with George Altamonte, Minari's owner. So if you include Chautauqua, basically we're down to a field of 10 already with 2 slots open. And of those 9 horses who are already definitely a lock, 8 have won at Group 1 level this season. It's a remarkable field.
Minari the Ferrari.
Yeah. And
Darren was calling him. Look, a tremendous horse. $26 into $15 since that announcement was made. He's had his issues, though, Minari.
He's had a tie-back operation as well,
but
yeah.
He's come through that.
Yes, and speaking to Gerald after I got the call from Max Whitby saying they'd locked Minari in, I rang Gerald straight away, and he's really had a great effort by Gerald Ryan to get Trapeze Artist the favourite, and now Minari 100%. Into the race. Both outstanding three-year-olds this season. Minari's always been a big, huge, muscular colt, magnificent-looking colt. Well, he's even bigger again. He stands 17 hands, probably a fraction over, and Gerald said he's about 612 kilos, so he's put on about 50 kilos since we saw him in the Golden Rose last spring. That's obviously natural development and growth, etc., but he's such a huge frame of a horse, but he's so muscular, it's all in proportion, if that makes sense. So he's a magnificent animal.
This time last year, you know, he was one of the best horses going around, wasn't he?
He was a short price favourite in the Golden Rose. Yeah.
Trapeze Artist was almost the second stringer, if you like.
He was. He was a $41 outside chance. And Minari did have that tie-back operation after he ran in the Golden Rose. And in hindsight, probably he wasn't getting as much oxygen as you need to get out of 1,400 metres, but he'll be trained for specifically the Everest at 1,200 metres, and look, a lot of people do love this horse.
Yeah, I think he's, I thought he was terrific value at $26, the market's caught up with him now, but he's a real player, no doubt about that. You're listening to Racing HQ, it's now 12 minutes to 8 o'clock, and we've Ray Thomas and Jason Witham, Glenn Munsey and Simon Dinopoulos with the Randwick preview coming up very, very shortly. But just before that, we've got a chance to continue our guests, and we're going to have a chat to John Bateman, who's got Nicolita going around today. Good morning to you, John. Good morning to you, John.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hello. Jason Witham and Ray Thomas with you, John. Thanks for your time this morning.
Jason.
We're very well, thanks. Very well.
Morning, John.
Really nice filly you've got going around in Nicolita today. She just missed there in the highway last start a couple of weeks ago. How's she done since then?
Seems to have taken no harm from it. She's had 4 runs this time in. This will be a fifth run, setting her up to the 1,400. I think she's been looking for it and also looking for the dry track.
Mm. That's what I was going to ask you, John. I think that getting back on top of the ground, I remember the day she won at Wagga. I know it was a soft 5, but it was a bordering on a good 4, and the acceleration she showed that day was super. Maybe these soft and heavy tracks have just dulled that a fraction the last couple?
Yes, it has, because she don't handle them all that well. But the first time I ran her on it, we weren't quite sure, and I thought, well, if I don't find out now, I'm going to be waiting till next preparation or something like that. And if we're taking her down for a good race or something like that, and we end up with a wet track,
you've
got to walk in there, throw your hands in the air, and say, hope she gets around. Now we know she don't handle the wet. We probably won't started on too many wet tracks anymore.
Yeah, in saying that, she's sort of got through it, hasn't she, and kept trying.
Yeah, she's got through it. She's a pretty tough filly, and she keeps trying all the time. She tries her heart out.
Mm-hmm. And, I, and Yeah, and you did mention earlier, I guess a lot of the form pundits looking at the race would have one little query about her at the 1400. You're pretty confident, John?
I'm pretty confident with it, yeah. Got Blake back on board. Blake knows it pretty well. He drove her a bit. So, yeah, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with the drier surface. I ran her at Goulburn on a good track. She carried 60 kilos and come from last on the turn and just blew them away. So I just think, you know, ridden a bit quiet and she might be able to show her a true ability. She might be able to finish on both at the top of them.
Yeah, fair enough. And, John, is Nick and Edie your Kosciuszko hope?
I've got a couple of others there, anybody's interested.
Okay.
But, yeah, look, I think she could freshen up and run 1,200 metres pretty good. Plastic Menu is another one.
Yep.
And I've got one that's probably a little bit untapped, a horse called Common Purpose.
Oh, yeah.
He goes pretty good.
So won the other day, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he won the other day. That was his first run for 12 months. And he won pretty well. He carried over 60 kilos. That's, I think, he carried 61 or something. And he won first up, so... But, yeah, look, there's a few there, if anybody's interested. But there's been plenty of talk about it. I think it's a good thing.
Terrific. And the overall concept, we heard from Joe Cleary earlier, John, a lot of his owners are on the phone. He said he had about 40 phone calls on that day when the announcement was made. Obviously, it's generating a lot of excitement and anticipation in country stables and country participants.
Yeah, well, it is. I train a few for Proven Thoroughbred, and they're pretty happy about it because we can train in the country and we get to run in them, whereas their city horses don't. They're happy with it, and a couple of other owners have shown a fair bit of interest in it.
Yep.
So, yeah, look, I think it's going to be good for everybody, especially the people in the country. They don't get to go down there and play on a big field.
Yeah.
Too often.
No, fantastic concept. Well, it sounds like you're on the road to Randwick now, John, so drive safely. Best of luck with Nick and Anita this afternoon. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, John.
Good on you, John. Thank you. John Bateman with Nick and Anita, currently the favourite through Tab Fixed Odds at $4.20. You're on Racing HQ. It's 8 minutes to 8 o'clock. Normally we'll be doing the scratchings, Ray. Mm-hmm. We're going to pop them back till after 8 a.m. And have a chat to James Cummings in the interim because James has been kind enough to join us this morning. Good morning to you, James.
Morning, Jason. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Good team in today. Let's make a start with Plaguestone, a colt that... I think a lot of people are very interested to see resuming it today. I know he's always had plenty of ability, and I guess maybe after those two good trials and a little bit of maturity, does he resume today in a winnable race?
Look, I think he's in the right race, and these are the best sharp horses around for this time of the year. So with the heavy weight, with the top weight, my feeling is that if he can beat these horses, then he's confirming the strong opinion we have on the horse.
Yeah, James, good morning. I guess with Plaguestone, his four starts so far, you could argue he just hasn't had any luck, has he?
Look, he's going nicely this time in, and I like the way he's trialled. He's got plenty of pace about him, but he's just been more sensible this time through, and he just looks like he's in a really happy place at the moment. He arrives here first up nice and strong. And I'd like to see him use his pace to advantage and sensibly, and that'd be a very satisfying way to kick off his preparation.
Exactly, all going well, and if he can pass that test today, is he one of the potential rising 3-year-olds heading towards the Golden Rose for Godolphin?
I'm not sure about the Golden Rose. He needs to show me a bit more before I start talking about that. But I certainly like the idea of running him in the Rosebud if he performs strongly first up today.
Fair enough, yeah. James, you've switched Galway back from Melbourne, where he's been racing particularly well, and Randwick Mile looks ideal this afternoon.
It does. He looks like being able to enjoy sitting off the speed today. You know, he was forced to cover the... he was forced into a forward position last time when a number of runners grabbed hold at Flemington, and he faced the breeze and, you know, had to be in front a long way out. And I didn't think that suited him on that occasion, despite having won from the front a couple of times. We like the way he's travelled up, and he's going into this race despite being deep into his campaign in really good shape.
What about Wonder in race five, James? His last two runs, he's been favourable right at the top of betting, and it was hard to find excuses for either of those two runs.
Look, I would say that you want to watch the replay last time. He was bottled up and had nowhere to go, and Brenton just dropped his hands by the time that he realised that all the doors had shut on his opportunities there at Warwick Farm. We'll find something out about him in a pretty strong race. He wants to lift a bit, but I off the back of his really strong win second up this campaign, I think he's got something to offer, and we'll find out, you know, in comparison to some handy winter class three-year-old sprinters.
Okay. Race 8, Bandipur was disappointing first up, but may have needed the run. I think everyone saw last start, he's got his hoof right on the till.
Yeah, and he's really going from one extreme to the other. Normally drawn to the outside, and he covered plenty of territory last time at Randwick. On this occasion, he should be able to do nothing but get the inside runs and from the barrier. And look, he's in good shape to run the rules.
Mm-hmm. And what about Sanction the last? I know he's got probably form over further, but he's trialled nicely and he has sprinted well fresh previously.
He has, I'm happy with the way that horse is coming to hand in preparation. I've got no doubt that he's got improvement in him, and he should position him to keep improving as this campaign unfolds. But of all the $15 chances that we might have brought to the races this season, I don't think he'd be the worst of them. I think he'd be up there with the ones we'd be more confident with. But with two runs last prep where he really failed to flatter, we did just try to squeeze him a little bit quickly to get him into the carnival and regretted it. So having given him another break, I think this is the sort of horse where you definitely want to you definitely take some interest in first up.
Hugh Bowman riding could be a good each way chance. Just quickly, Jane, before we let you go, if you don't mind, Elise yesterday, lovely little trial, and of course you've got the Boom Colt Kementari ready to trial in that star-studded trial against Winx and Chautauqua on Monday.
Yeah, look, she was. She was solid and never really got let off the bridle. I like the fact that we just afforded us a little, afforded ourselves a little more time to give her a second trial before we resume first up on the 18th. I'm pretty sure it'll be in the show county. We'll just wait and see what the weights come out with. But she'll trial again and she's just humming along nicely. And Kementari looked great coming off the gallop this morning And you'll see him trial on Monday at Rose Hill.
Terrific. And just one final one. I did notice one yesterday, James, that caught my eye. I went and looked at his form. He's got multiple Group 2 placings in England. A horse called Avelius?
Yeah, you don't miss much.
He's lovely trial, yeah.
He trialled nicely. Look, he'll be in the nominations next week in the Winter Challenge.
Okay.
But I'm not against giving him a little bit more time and waiting for an open handicap a couple of weeks later. He does have form getting up over ground for us, and he's got a beautiful style about him. And this would be a really interesting preparation. He's been given plenty of time to settle in and acclimatise. He looks like he's going about his work and enjoying his preliminary so far. And we'll see where we can get to.
He's one for the Black Book, Avelius. Hey, James, look, thanks for joining us. Now it's a busy morning with fast work out there this morning, but I really appreciate your time and best of luck at Randwick today.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, James. James Cummings with the latest with his team. It's now 2 minutes to 8 o'clock on Racing HQ. Good to have you with us. Sky Racing 1 will leave us for US Racing. We'll be back with all of today's final scratchings. Ray Thomas, Simon Denopoulos and Glenn Munsey with the Randwick preview with the best from the stewards' room straight after this.
Dynamic Syndications' Gay and Adrian introduce a fantastic filly and the first yearling at Tullock Lodge by Wongina. Snitzel's Group 1 winning son and now exciting first crop sire. Trained by Gay, Wongina was the fastest two-year-old in the stable and won the Group 1 Australian Guineas at 3. From Spooked, winning daughter of Group 2 winner Beat the Phase. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian team. 5% shares, just $7,625. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-345-345.
0800 619 999. AFSL 3368 08.
Free sale for the 2018 Sydney Spring Carnival, and soon your last chance to free purchase and save up to 40% on door prices. To book, visit theatc.com.au.
The Amarok V6 Sportline Turbo Diesel Auto, with 165 kilowatts of power, surging to an impressive 180 kilowatts on overboost.
Hold your horses, voiceover guy. What are you talking about?
You are.
Mate, let the honey badger help. This ute's got more grunt than a pig farm.
Okay. Where was I?
Yours from only $53,990 drive away.
Or you could just say it's a bloody ripper deal.
Do you want to just do my job?
All right, take a hike. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au and search badger.